tell me I'm wrong. I'm only halfway there, but it feels like home. Riding on a long tail back to Kofungan.
Struggling with your faith? You're not the only one. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Too many things happening in the studio, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Some of you might realize that Tim the Tool is not with us today. So the show is not running as smoothly as it normally does. You ever heard Tim screw up live on air? Daryl, has that ever happened?
I think he's screwed up when I've been present.
Yeah.
Before, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He's a delightful soul.
I still love him, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought you were a Baptist. Don't you guys throw people out when they screw up?
No, that's Baptist Southern Convention of 1827.
Right.
Yes.
You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca and on joyradio.ca and across the GTA on AM 1250. A little bit of old-timey music there in honor of our next guest. Terry Bannerman here in the studio with us. Hi, Terry. How you doing? Nice to...
Ofkus.
What? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, no. I have known her for so long that I just can't change the name. Terry Ofkus. That's an interesting name for you.
It is.
Yeah. Terry, we have known each other probably as long as Daryl and I have known each other, and that's about 30 years. We all met at a little place called Teen Ranch. We all come here together. We all come here to share. Never mind the weather. With God, it's always fair. This is the place I long to be.
Some people share more than others.
You know who wrote that song?
Ron Ellis.
Ron Ellis wrote the song about Teen Ranch.
I was there for the debut.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Did he sing it himself?
Yes.
Wow. Ron Ellis. Who knew that he was a recording artist?
When professional athletes write music.
Bo, bo, bo. It's like a CSI show. All right, listen, it's time to get into a few topics on our show. That's why I've invited some friends here. It is the pub crawl, and that's where we crack open a few topics with a few friends. Terry on the left corner and Daryl on the right corner, and that makes lots of sense on the radio. So, chatting about a few things. Topic number one, should an evangelical, by the way, is it evangelical or evangelical? Daryl, what say you?
I kind of like evangelical.
Do you?
Sure.
Okay, we'll stay with that one. Terry, doesn't matter what you think. Should an evangelical for-profit Disney-type theme park that has a 510-foot by 85-foot by 8 stories high Noah's Ark get an $18 million tax break when their employees have to sign a statement of faith disavowing homosexuality, same-sex marriage, premarital sex, and believe in the literal six-day creation account in Genesis, namely that dinosaurs lived beside people about 6,000 years ago? First of all, I mean, there's so many questions I have about this. Let's just start off with a basic one. When this thing gets going, when it's opened up, it's supposed to open up next week, by the way, is this something that you may or may not go to? Terry, would you ever go to the evangelical Disney-type theme park?
Maybe. It would depend what other rides they have. If they have a parting of the Red Seas with a boat through, maybe.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Maybe, yeah. Or into the belly of the whale. That'd be another good one.
Right.
What else do they have? We don't know.
Crucifixions?
Stonings?
No, I wouldn't go for that. No, stonings. Well, it's nothing like a good stoning.
Yes?
I don't know. It would depend how much it costs.
$40.
$40
American
US.
Bucks. That's about 137 Canadian.
Yeah. After hearing about the fellow and his hiring.
So they got up.
Rules, possibly not.
Right. But here's the thing. I don't have a problem if they're going to be for profit. Like, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But why the tax break? And how do they get, I guess that's what governments do when big places build stuff that provide employment for the locals and brings in tourism, they probably do get a tax break. But I hope they're not, I mean, if they're going to be for profit, I guess that means this wasn't, they didn't get a tax break because they were a nonprofit charitable, right? And if they're nonprofit charitable, then they have rules to live by. And the rules these days says stuff like you can't be discriminating the way you want to, although it is Kentucky, right? You can discriminate against your relatives, your wife, also your sister. Yeah. So would you go, Daryl?
I'm not much of a theme park guy to begin with, so it's unlikely.
But it would be cool, would it not, to get inside a 510-foot by 85-foot by 8 stories high Noah's Ark?
Yeah, I would find that interesting. to visualize what it is, you know. I wish they would measure it in cubits, though. It would be,
it'd be much more.
The whole feet and inches thing throws me off.
It does. Because you and your cubits.
Well, yeah.
How many cubits are you?
I have no idea. I was just trying to be funny.
Oh, I see. I'm surprised that in this day and age, Terry, that they can get away with hiring people, making people sign a thing that says you can't be doing the homosexual stuff. You can't be into the same-sex marriage stuff. You can't even have premarital sex.
Well, so you lie.
So
What? You can ask people all those things, and they can say yes, I believe in all of those things, and meanwhile they're lying, right? Like I don't even actually understand why you bother with that. But
well, that's what I'm saying. Do you know of any place that's? I guess. Do all ministries maybe have stuff like that? And are they allowed to do that?
Probably, but again, it's not.
You were doing this to me.
Well, Disney World. I don't believe you're allowed to have a beard if you work at Disney World. At least you didn't used to be able to, so you two couldn't work there.
No.
Darn.
No beards for you.
I mean, it's their company. Part of me thinks it's their company.
They can do what they want.
They can hire what they want, but
there's a no beard policy for the Toronto Maple Leafs, too.
There is?
Yeah, Lou Lamoriello, the GM, has a no beard policy.
Except playoffs.
No. Well, the Leafs weren't there, so we don't know.
Matter, yeah. That's a moot point.
But I do think there is a certain... It's a touchy issue because obviously when you're interviewing people for a job, you're passing judgment on a person regardless.
Dude,
right?
It's illegal to say you can't get this job because you're gay.
No,
it's
I
illegal.
Know. I know.
At least in this country.
And
it
seems like, at least in terms of my experience, those aren't questions you can ask.
No. So no, you can't even ask what gender are you. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that next.
Right.
Okay, let's just talk about the fact that this place is, millions and millions of dollars is being put into this. What?
100 million, isn't it?
My daughter just texted me and said, maybe Noah will be there. You could take me. It would be cool.
But good use of God's money. So that's a weird conversation to have. I remember having this conversation about, because I have a problem with rich, filthy rich Christians, okay? If you're an opulently over-the-top, filthy rich Jesus person, to me, I always go back to that end scene in Schindler's List where Liam Neeson goes, oh, I could have saved two more lives with this ring on my finger or whatever. And people say, well, I'm going to be a conduit of God's money, but there's always a blockage in that conduit. It seemed to be a lot sticking around. What are you doing? You're making a face there.
Well,
faces on radio don't count.
I agree, but you saw it, so that led to a discussion here. So it worked. It served its purpose. The listeners don't need to see my face.
True story.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope, though, right? Because it's finances and wealth. And how you perceive it, especially within the Christian world, is a very subjective thing.
Right. Well, yeah, someone said to me, I think it might have been Chuck Ealy, said, well, some people are going to say the way you live, Drew, is rich.
Absolutely. I had someone think that my dad was opulent because we had two cars and a nice house. But he's a pig farmer from Manitoba who had millions of dollars invested into his livestock, his machinery. He was worth more money than my dad was. But just because my dad had two cars and no livestock, somehow he was showy.
Right.
Right? So that I can see that that becomes a bit of a gray area. But I do know what you're talking about as well. There's obvious people who are obviously just stacking it away and aren't doing anything really of value with it. Yeah, that's the end of my thought.
Terry, where are you at with all this? Again, namely how it pertains to... You know, this multi-million dollar... It's like, didn't the PTL gang or whatever they're called it, didn't they? Don't they have a big Jesus park, a big hallelujah park or something?
I think they do. Pass the loot. Isn't that what PTL stood for?
Pass the loot. Nice.
We live in North America, so all of us live...
Opulently.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's high, you know, then judge it. You live more opulently than me because I have two cars, you have three, I got a cottage...
Yeah.
I only have a house. You got a cottage. Doesn't that make you? Why do you have your cottage? Sell your cottage and give the money to whoever, whatever charity. Where are you going to draw the line for us?
Yeah,
it becomes, I think, your own conscience. But again, North American conscience is not the same.
That's an oxymoron.
That is. Yeah, I think it might be. This thing, I don't know. What's he going to do with all the profits that he makes? It's a for-profit, right? So they're going to grow it. He'll become more wealthy. I don't even know who the guy is.
It's Ken Ham, and he's an Australian guy who's sort of in charge of the Creation Institute, and he's the big literal six-day creationist guy. I remember having this conversation with someone at a restaurant one time, and they said, "Do you believe that in the literal six-day creation that God created the world in 6 days, rested, and that the world is only 6,000 roughly years old?" And I said, "To be honest, I don't care. It doesn't affect my life at all, whether it's interpreted this way or theologians put a spin on it that way, or this, there's folks that's way smarter than me on both sides of this or all sides of this, and I just doesn't impact me." And this guy was genuinely concerned for my eternal destination. I could have given him a litany of better reasons to be worried about my eternal security, but this, whew, man, I don't know. Now, are you open about where you stand on the creation thing? Or do you think it's a literal 6 days and it was 6,000? Like, do you remember when back in the day we heard the world is 80 billion years, whatever, and we go, "Oh, pff, yeah, ha, ha, that's not true. Those crazy scientists, they're so silly." Do you remember saying that, Daryl?
No, because I've never felt that science and faith were mutually exclusive.
Right.
And I hate it when people paint it in that light. Hmm. Well, if you're a person of faith, well, then you don't believe in science. It's the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard.
So what do you believe?
I personally feel that the evidence does not bode well for evolution or millions of years.
Right.
And the thing, the point that's always made is that creationist scientists or evolutionary scientists are all working from the same data. They just have a different bias in how they approach it.
Right.
So then ultimately it begs the question, well, what does the evidence point toward? And a lot of the times I have people argue in favor of evolution in millions of years, but they're just repeating something. I mean, it happens on both sides.
Yeah.
Where you hear a good clip that supports your views, well, that's what I'm going with,
yeah,
right? Rather than actually taking the time to investigate.
But who has the time for that?
I don't know. I think it's of more importance than you're placing on it. I'm not worried about your eternal salvation if you kind of go, "Well, I don't really care."
Yeah.
But I think in terms of how we interpret scripture, how we look at things, I think it does have an impact on how we...
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
See, the beginning and the end, I don't give a holy grunt about. I wasn't there for one. I'm probably not going to be there for the other.
That's okay. Not what your ad says on the radio.
Before and after the rapture?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Terry, what do you think about all this creation stuff?
Well, I'm... sadly, I'm on... in your camp. I don't think it makes a hill of beans difference whether it was 6 days or 6 months was a day. How long was a day? He didn't.
Sun went up, sun went down. That was a day.
24
the scripture
hours,
says that. But then,
yeah, I don't think that matters. I think we've gotten so lost in arguing over things like that that we've lost the basics of what our faith is supposed to be, which is being kind to one another and supporting one another and living the way we're supposed
right.
to. And that's,
Yeah, that's my pushback in all these sort of conversations is I have a hard enough time loving idiots, or my neighbor or whatever. Sometimes it's the same thing. This is so far down the list of stuff I got to work on or think about.
I read the article thingy and it said, and he said he wants it to be like an evangelical
yep.
thing. So like, how? Like I don't really want to go to it, though I'm kind of interested in it to see what there is. But how is that going to...
Well, I'm sure they'll have some Jack Chick tracks.
Somebody dressed up like Jesus? There is somewhere in Orlando.
Jack Chick tracks. Do you remember those? Those are those little you're going to hell cartoon things, little pamphlets, and you flip through them and look at cartoons, and then you'd fall in love with Jesus.
Hmm. Yes, I've seen that.
You'd leave them in the bathrooms, you see.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, along with the testaments.
Yes, testaments. Yes. Oh, that's horrible. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, that one, look, the guy who is the publicist for Billy Graham gave me a phone call the other day, and he's working with these folks as part of one of his accounts. And I said, I don't know if I want to get this guy on the show. Because the last time I saw Ken Ham, he was getting spanked by Bill Nye. There was a big debate about, from
the
science
guy,
Yeah. And we called it Ham on Nye. and at the end of it, the question was, what would change your mind? The moderator asked the question, what would it take to change your mind? And Bill Nye said, evidence. And Ken Ham said, nothing. My mind's made up. And I don't know. There's a thing there that kind of goes, really? Really? You're that set in it? I don't know. So That's how I feel about that. All right, let's move on to the next one. Folks, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We are in the middle of the pub crawl. We're cracking open a few topics. It's our extended summer edition in the studio with Daryl and Terry, both old friends, one older than the other. A new poll suggests that almost 70% of Canadians are cool with legalizing marijuana. So now that it's almost legal, what impact will this have on religious people whose main reason for being against it was that marijuana was illegal? Will Christians lighten up on pot the same way they've lightened up on booze, especially in the last 30 years? So let's talk about that. The first time I remember hanging out with Jesus people who actually drank was Scotland, because it was just part of the culture. You just drank. And I grew up in the scene over here in the late 70s, 80s, where, you know, the evangelical Christian scene, you didn't drink. You just didn't. And anybody that ever walked into a bar, you judged, you know, walked in. And then I was pastoring in Australia. That's right, folks. Used to be one of those. And I went to the beer store.
What, an Australian?
Pastor.
Oh, right.
Jerk face. And then I was at the beer store, and I was thinking, oh, I hope no one from the church sees me. And then I thought... Well, if they're in the beer store, what do I need to worry about? Sure enough, a couple came in, and it's just a different culture over there. So over here, it was a big to-do. Daryl, you remember being around ministry and drinking was not a thing, or what did you grow up with?
What's
that? You're speaking tongues now?
No. I did go to Pentecost church for a while, but that didn't happen to me.
Oh.
So,
well, then you're not a real Christian.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, I'm not big on denominational labels, just so we know.
Okay.
But I was thinking about that, you know, why you bring two Baptists with you fishing, because if you only bring one, he'll drink all your beer.
Yeah. yes.
I grew up in a very moderate household.
Yes.
So
you guys had little drugs as well going on there?
We were doing lines of coke.
Yeah?
My mom had a bit of an issue. But
this is still funny. This is funny because I know his mom, and that's just hilarious.
Yeah, the idea of her going anywhere near drugs is,
silly.
I'm sure that my daughter is laughing quite heartily listening to that right now.
Uh-huh.
As far as alcohol was concerned, it was in our home. It was something that it was never really much of an issue for me.
Right.
And maybe that was, joking about denominations, I grew up initially in the Lutheran church.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the closest Protestant equivalent to the Catholic church, and you drink wine in the service.
Sure.
And you take communion, the whole deal.
Yeah.
So for me, it was kind of demystified. Now,
right.
That's not to say that in my teen years or my university years, I didn't abuse it at times, or even later than that, perhaps. I'm not justifying that.
No.
But the booze was always readily available in my home, and if I wanted to get to it, I knew where it was. But I also knew that it wasn't something to abuse.
So what did you think when you went to, say, a teen ranch and there was no drinking? Even if you were on staff, you weren't supposed to drink off the property.
Yeah, we did anyway.
Oh.
See, there's that lying thing on that.
Yeah, that lying.
So
yeah.
But that was camp.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not expecting to go and drink at camp while I'm, you know, counseling or working maintenance or any of that.
Yeah. Although that would help with the lawn mowing.
Possibly.
Or the haying.
I've mowed every single inch of lawn on that property multiple times over.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I had friends in high school whose parents had the locked liquor cabinet, and of course everybody knew where the key was, and when the parents were out for the weekend, they were filling the vodka bottle with water to, you know, because dad won't notice, right? So I've always had a moderate view of it, and I've never really, but I, when we moved to Fergus, we started going to Pentecostal church, so then there was definitely this prohibition around.
So did you hide it then?
Well, no, but again, as a teenager, I wasn't out partying.
No, but what did your parents do? They just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, it just
they come over, they invite the Pentecostal friends over for dinner and hide the booze?
No, actually, I think our youth pastor would come over. He's actually
an alcoholic?
No.
Oh.
He pastors the church up in Perry Sound that Dave Burrows goes to.
Oh.
Not that anybody really cares.
No.
But you would care because you know that person.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
There was never an issue.
Okay.
I don't recall there being an issue. I've seen a bigger issue in my travels in the U.S., the Americans are much more uptight about it than
they
we
are.
I was on the
uptight
road.
Uptight about more things.
I was on. Well, Americans are. American evangelicalism is just a monster all into its own thing.
Yes.
Having said that, I have some wonderful Christian friends in the States, so please forgive me.
Oh, brother.
But I was on the road with an artist in the U.S. We had a guy playing guitar in that band who had just joined us for that tour, and he was going through some marital difficulties, yada, yada, and he drank. Socially, as did I, and I was of age at the time, so it wasn't an issue. But we were going. The youth pastor was taking us out for dinner after,
uh-huh.
And the artist we were playing for, we had already agreed upon the terms of not drinking, no smoking, because this guitarist smoked as well. But it had been a fairly rough day, and the artist we were playing for and the guitar player were kind of butting heads a little bit.
Okay.
It had been a long tour, and they were getting on
each other's
nerves.
Are you close to the end of this?
Yes, I am. We got there, and they had an argument.
Oh, sorry.
The guitar player went straight to the bar, got himself a Guinness, came back and sat down at the table, and of course the youth pastor's eyes were...
Because of a Guinness?
Well, just, again, that's not something you do. It was just that.
How long
was,
ago was this?
This was back when, mid-90s, when I lived in Nashville.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I wanted nothing more than to join them. I would have loved to have a beer, but because okay. I knew the circumstance, I didn't bother. But it was a big to-do.
Do you think we're going to go through this with pot, Terry?
Holy, I was wondering when we were going to get to the marijuana. And where are the brownies you promised me?
Well, are we going to get the same way with pot now that it's going to be legal?
So then the youth pastor says to me.
You know, I listened to you on the way down here, and I thought you need someone else in the studio with you. But
yeah,
anyway.
Balance.
Maybe eventually you'll get this way with pot.
What do you think?
Well, I think once it becomes legal, people that maybe used it occasionally are going to go, oh, good, it's legal now. But just because it's legal, I mean, I'm sure slavery is legal somewhere in the world, but do we want to embrace that?
Yeah, so just because we have the right to do it doesn't mean we should do it.
And I'm sure there are things that we're not supposed to do that really morally would be okay.
Right.
Abortion would be a wild one to go there, but you know, I don't know. See, I don't have bad feelings about pot because I think it really has a place medically for people whose heads aren't right.
Sure.
Because I know.
Well, they should be getting the oil then, eh? Get the oil, not the weed or the brownie. Yeah.
Well, it's probably not good for your lungs
No.
The moral aspect of it, like, are Christians going to start? Yeah, they probably stop that. Yet some of them will.
Yeah.
Because they probably already are now. They're just not open about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change the demographic all that much.
You don't think so?
No, not at all. Because I have, being a musician, people are amazed that I've come this far, you know, a couple decades. I've never smoked marijuana.
Right.
And it's not because I have a major moral issue with it. I've never cared to. It's never appealed to me. So, where I have friends, though, who are medicated a lot, and they're highly functioning individuals. So.
Highly functioning. Yeah. What is the, is it TCP? What's the stuff in it? There's letters. I can't remember the
Come
thing.
Come on. Stop pretending like you don't know.
Okay. Anyway, they say the way it's made these days, you know, it's a stronger stuff.
It is.
Know, stronger stuff. But we also, remember that conversation with booze. Well, when Jesus and the wine and everything, that was diluted stuff. You know, it's not the stuff it is now.
Oh, who said that?
Oh, that was a huge thing back when
it wasn't real wine.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been the best wine ever, wouldn't it? I would have thought.
That's what, he got in trouble for making the best wine at the...
Come on. They saved the best to the last.
Yeah. He had a couple packets of Freshie in his pocket. And
no, that's Jim Jones. Sorry, wrong spiritual leader. So you don't think it's really going to change much? What I'm hearing from you guys is that those that are kind of secretly doing it will then come out?
I don't even know anyone who's secretly doing it.
I do.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I know a number of Jesus people that secretly do it. And not so secretly. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I might change my mind at some point, but it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
It'll still be frowned upon, I think, for a while, but gradually, like everything else, it'll become part of the culture. And just like drinking, it'll be accepted probably somewhere down the road.
Hell in a handbasket.
Well,
that's where we're going.
Yeah.
Somebody just posted.
I thought we were already there.
Somebody just posted an old interview I did with Pastor Perry F. Rockwood from Nova Scotia. Oh. The King James Version is the only authorized version of the Bible. And I think the phrase hell in a handbasket came up with that interview. Daryl and Terry in the studio with us. Ontario will be introducing gender-neutral driver's licenses in 2017. Drivers will be able to select X instead of M or F. The government of Ontario just recently started issuing health cards that no longer display people's gender. Schools have also been forced to figure out how to best tackle the issue of genderless washrooms. And so today we're going to have a short conversation about this whole genderlessness thing with two males and one female. For those of us who have not struggled with is it gender dysphoria or whatever? I can't remember the terms again, but THP, TCP, I don't know. PCP, that was the other one. We don't get it, right? It's like anything else. If we are not affected with it, or we don't have someone we care about who have been impacted by something, we typically, we just don't get it. I get asked all the time when I get interviewed by other shows who have me on. Mistake to do that. They say, well, what do you think about the gay stuff? They always want to know what the God guy thinks about the gay stuff. And my answer these days are, I honestly don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know. Theologically, I can see both sides, but I'm not gay. I'm straight. All I know is I'm not near as wound up about gay stuff as I used to be, you know, 20 years ago. That's my answer. So with this genderless stuff, I guess, I mean, it's really, really hard for me not to, you know, make light of, oh my goodness, really? We got to have a genderless washroom and a genderless everything. But that's because I don't know anybody who's ever struggled with that. Terry, how does this impact you? I mean, and you also used to work in sort of public health and, you know, hospitals have to have the whole thing. What's going on?
Well, I don't think I understand how you can feel genderless. I can't pretend to know what it would be like to be to feel that I'm a woman, but really I feel like I'm really a man. Mm-hmm. I have absolutely zero idea what that must be like, other than to say, how horrible would it be if that was, if my feeling was that I'm really am should have been a man? Like, I can't even imagine what that would be like for people. But I don't understand how you can be genderless, because you're either a male or a female.
Right. Like, well, maybe they're saying that you are sort of in the middle of figuring all that stuff out, and you don't, you know, you, there is, you identify physically as male, but you feel female. So which washroom do you go into? You go into the genderless one.
So it's going to be a separate bathroom, not you can go into either one.
No. Mm-hmm.
Will it have a shorter lineup? Because that
that's
would be
really
where I'd go.
Yeah, that's where I would go.
Well, that, me too.
I use the handicap bathrooms. Is that bad? Should I? That brings up a whole new thing.
Look around.
I like the handicap toilets, personally.
Yeah.
They're a little higher off the ground.
They
I'm a
are.
Tall guy.
Yes.
You can relate to
doesn't
that.
Doesn't hurt the knees.
No. But I used one at a trade show once, and there was when I came out, there was a guy in a wheelchair waiting to use it.
Never happened.
I felt so awful.
Did you limp at least when
no,
you came
No, I
out?
Just kind of, it was like, I'm busted. I'm sorry, dude. You know.
Oh,
I hope
funny.
You didn't have to wait long.
No, yeah.
I think the first question ultimately is how many people are, like, what are the numbers? Yeah. What are the stats? What are we basing this off of? The first quote that comes to mind is Spock in Star Trek when he says, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Like, how many people are we talking about here? Why are we rearranging the way that we talk about everything for a very select few?
You ready? I'm going to throw something back at you, and I just hang on.
All right.
Ready? How many people are affected by Lyme disease?
More than we know.
And I bring that up with Daryl because Daryl and his family have been processing this tough, tough journey over the last couple of years, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your daughter got Lyme disease. Is that true? Is that really
what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you sent me a video of your daughter, and oh my goodness, I mean, the angst that you guys have gone through is just huge. And so somebody may push back when you and your new family of those who have been affected with Lyme disease, you know, your support groups and I can relate to you guys and this family over here and the forums online and whatever else. And somebody might go, why is this group getting so much money? There's hardly any people who are getting Lyme disease as compared to this disease.
Right.
So same argument or no?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No,
I just wasted all my time.
Well, no, it was a nice segue if you wanted to lead into that. And I'm not trying to be contrary, even though I can be contrarian.
No, you can't.
I am often. Whether I can or I can't is beside the point. You're talking about a disease which could lead to death, and my daughter almost died a couple times.
Right.
If someone identifies as being a spark plug, they're not going to die from it, right? Okay. It's not an issue of health. I don't know why I thought it was spark plug.
Well, because they could die if they tried to insert themselves into the car.
It is quite possible.
The pushback in that is, well, those that are killing themselves because they are so traumatized with the the gender confusion that's going on inside of them, mm-hmm. there is a death issue there.
My question still remains, though. How many people? I would really like to know how many people this is affecting.
But
because I get the
what
sense,
number do you go? Okay, now it's okay. We do it.
10.
just pull that out.
No, it just seems. It seems overblown to me,
right.
And like we're kind of jumping to these crazy assumptions, especially in a day and age when we hear so much about feminism. It's like I talk to my daughters about this kind of stuff all the time. It's like, you know, women are special. You're important. But if I want to become a woman, all I got to do is have a surgery and think differently, and I can become a woman too. You're basically saying your value as a female, there's you have no value because anyone can just choose to be whatever they want to be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's ridiculous, personally. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Okay, Terry.
See, I'm a little more sympathetic to it. And probably it's my age. I think that the longer you live.
So what you're saying is, when Daryl gets older, he'll understand.
I think he might. Maybe not, though. I don't know.
So you're more sympathetic. Well, so you think we should have genderless driver's licenses, genderless
old
cars?
No, I don't understand that. Truly don't understand not being able to identify one or the other. If you want to put male, if you identify as a male and you're female, put male on it. Like I don't even actually. Why do we even have our sex on it?
But this is what the argument is. Why do we even have that? Because you're forcing people to. So do you remember the story that, and it was a Canadian thing, as far as I can remember, where the parents decided they were going to raise their kid genderless,
yeah.
And the kid will decide later what gender the child is going to be. And the reason they did that, and it just took off, it was a huge story because obviously for most of us we're shaking our head on that, is because the other child does have gender identity issues. And that's why they did this with this child, because the older child went through not knowing am I female or am I not? So it was a boy who wanted to wear pink and play with dolls and dresses and da 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 da, and so they just that's why they kind of progressed.
Well, that's why they did it.
Yeah,
but now I'm seeing it with my kids coming through school and some of the things that they're taught in their health class and that they're coming up against it. It almost seems as though it's encouraged in a way. As soon as a kid expresses any sort of ambiguity about something, well, you must be gay, or you must be, maybe you're transgendered, or where those questions would have never been presented when you and I were coming through school, right?
Back when we were young.
Well, no, it's definitely a new thing. It's something that I didn't have to deal with. For me, and obviously I'm the same as you, I never questioned that.
So are you saying it would be better if we went back to then, where we didn't talk about this stuff?
I just don't think, I think there's a, you can feed people
too much
a line of thinking, especially young children,
right,
where it doesn't mean anything. If a boy picks up a Barbie and plays with it, it doesn't mean that he's anything. It doesn't mean that he's going to cease being a boy or heterosexual or what have you.
Yeah.
I've seen articles posted where they talk about my gay 5-year-old son. My children at 5 years old were not wrestling with ideas of heterosexuality or homosexuality.
If people can become Christians at 5 years old.
Possibly. I would think it's high, and the reason I question it is because I know people who have they love the idea of having a gay kid.
You know people who get excited about that?
I am not kidding you. Like I've seen them act in such a way that
in this world, why would you want your kid to go through that kind of possible ostracization?
Are you kidding me? Are you amazed? I'm sure you're not amazed at what people will go through to get attention.
Oh, yeah.
We all know those people, and
I used to be one of those.
Well, no, but I'm not being dramatic, and I'm not making this up. I know someone who almost is kind of forcing that on their kid because they think it will make them look like such a forward-thinking,
right.
Wonderful person, right? When really the kid was just going, I just wanted to wear pants once instead of a dress, and you must be questioning your sexuality now. I think it's ridiculous.
See, Terry? When I grew up, I didn't have, this is going to sound really weird, I apologize to my family beforehand. I used to want to be a boy because I didn't like the stuff that you had to do as a girl. I didn't really like playing with dolls. I liked horses. I liked animals. I wanted to be outside. I would have loved to have grown up on a farm and done what I considered.
Man stuff.
Guy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but two of the happiest times in my life and when I felt most feminine was when I was pregnant. So even though as a little girl, like I can remember being out in the backyard with my dad and he was doing something in the backyard and he had his shirt off. So I took my shirt off because I wanted to be like my dad. And I stopped doing that.
Okay.
The neighbors weren't happy. No, they were yelling, actually, put your shirt back on.
Put it on.
But I don't think that that's the same as what's happening now. And I do think, and I, this is a change in how I think, there are people who are born gay or lesbian. I would call it all gay, homosexual, whatever. And I think there are people who are born that way. I do think some people might give it a go and make it a choice and think, oh, I don't know, had a bad experience with a guy. Maybe I'm really a lesbian. I don't know. But I don't. It's not something I'm horrified that anyone would want to make their kid go that way, because I don't think, like you said, it's not an easy way to live. And I don't know very many homosexual people. The ones I do are wonderful people. I think they're great.
Why are the gay people always nice? I know a gay person, and they're lovely. That's what everyone says.
They are. Every woman should have a gay man friend. They're great. It would be great to have a gay man.
Yeah, people never say that about their straight friends. He is the nicest guy.
That's the nicest Mormon I've ever met.
My wife and I were talking about it the other day. I encounter that all the time. As soon as someone talks about their gay friend, they are the nicest people.
You don't get this. Women like to be with a man. And so a gay guy fulfills that you're with a man.
Without worrying about boundaries and, oh, does he like me?
Yeah, that's right. And that's what they, plus usually in my case, it would be good to have a good gay man friend because he could help me shop because I suck at buying clothes.
Yeah, I totally get that.
But I don't, so what were we talking about again?
We're talking about a genderless society.
Well, you can't be genderless. You are male or female. Like, make up your mind, I guess I'd want to say to them. I don't get the dilemma that you're in, and it would be horrid. It would be like being gay and trying to fit yourself into a man role when that's just not where you are. That's not you.
So make up your mind.
I think
either
so.
Sit or get off the pot.
Well, precisely.
Stand.
Stand or get off.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it would be sad. I think the church is very ill prepared for this. What on earth are you going to do with people that come in?
What are you going to do? Hey?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep.
All right, our final topic in the pub crawl. A YouTube video posted last year shows a boat full of yahoos coming alongside of a swimming moose. And then one idiot jumps onto the moose's back and rides it like he's in a rodeo. 2 million views, by the way. That's what's happened on that thing. It's kind of taken off. They've each been charged with 3 offenses under the Wildlife Act. Harassing wildlife with the use of the boat. I gotta say, I could go to prison for this too, because there's an island up near the cottage where the seagulls have their babies, and I like to hoon around it, and those seagulls come after me, and they like dip and dive and skim your head, and then you gun it, and it's fun, right? No? Okay.
What's the gender of the moose?
Would you stop it? Attempting to capture wildlife, hunting big game that is swimming. That's actually a law. That's a rule. You can't hunt big game when they're swimming, because I guess they can't get away.
They're at a big disadvantage.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So is this karma for these guys, or is this tree-hugging, politically correct craziness? Terry?
Karma would have been if they'd fallen out of the boat and drowned.
How do you really feel about this?
You're an animal lover. You picked the right person to have on this question.
Right.
I might have to slap Daryl because of what he said initially at the beginning of the program.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You really didn't think it was in favor of the guy jumping on. I believe you might have even implied you might have jumped on the moose yourself had you been there.
May or may not.
Depending on what day and age his drinking was happening.
Yeah.
So?
Who hasn't jumped on the back of a moose?
Who hasn't done that? It's Canada Day yesterday.
I think the laws, unfortunately, don't apply. Well, they're harassing. They were harassing wildlife.
Yes.
I've watched it several times because I watched it when I first heard about it. They chased the moose into the deep water so that they could indeed jump on its back.
And
I think they're idiots, and I think they should, I don't know, fine them. I'd put them in jail if I was running. I'm a Jane Goodall, Diane Fossey type of girl, though, so, you know.
Right. Who's the one that got killed by the animals?
Diane Fossey. Yeah. No. None of them been killed. Diane Fossey was killed by poachers.
Oh, I mean by poachers. Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
I hope she took a few out on the way out with her, so.
Wow. Passion, eh?
Oh,
passion.
Big time.
Yeah, have you ever been kind of cheeky with an animal? Okay, let's go
have
with this.
Have I ever been what?
Let's go cheeky with an animal. That didn't really get
Can you clarify that for me, please? I thought I wanted to be a boy when I was little was that's bad. It is.
I thought you said cheeky with an elk.
Yes. And, yeah, it's, yeah. It's, yeah. No, but okay, now we're talking about rodeo. Okay, the way they treat animals in rodeo. Now we're into that. How do you feel about that?
Oh, don't like it.
You don't.
I've done a
because I've heard they treat animals. The animals, the stock animals, are treated the best. Best grain and the taking care of the best because there's money in these animals.
The big ones, the big rodeos, like right. You think your little dinky Southern Ontario rodeos? I don't know.
No?
It's been a long time since I had anything to do with rodeo, Drew. Okay. Long time.
Daryl, moose jumping. Yay or nay?
Watch it, Daryl. I'm an arm's length.
Yeah, I was kidding earlier.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I don't have any strong feelings about moose. All I know is that they're...
You care more about the literal six-day creation than jumping on the back of a moose.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, I would say that it was an idiotic thing to do because...
But haven't we all done idiotic
things? We have, but...
Should we all go to prison for those things?
Probably. What'd you do?
I think a reasonable... penance for these individuals would be to put in a pen with the moose on dry land.
Nice.
Because
and let the moose hoof them?
They're nasty animals.
In rutting season.
Yeah.
That
could get...
Yeah. So...
That could get genderless.
I don't know. I don't get incensed when I hear about this. I think it was stupid. Hmm. I don't think they should have done it, but I'm not
Should
gonna,
they go to... Should I'm, they be... Should they go to jail?
I think they should be fined. Yeah. A pretty steep fine, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much, Daryl?
I don't know. $1,000.
Okay, there it is. Yeah. Sold.
And then buy the moose something real nice.
Well, they nearly drowned the thing, too. He jumped on it, and the thing's head went under the water.
Well, okay, now here we go. Think back in the ranch days when we swam the horses across the water.
We were supposed to get off their back so that you didn't drown them.
Ah, nuts. That's a good point. Yeah. What? You don't like that, Daryl?
What, are you going to relate it to Lyme disease somehow? No.
You're a jerk.
Don't you think this is like that incident and other incidents like that just show a lack of respect for other living things on the planet? Like, don't we have a responsibility to the rest of...
But you don't kill mosquitoes?
The wildlife. Oh, come on. I'm not a Buddhist.
But do
we... Come on. I'm not a Buddhist.
Well, I actually think, and you're going to think I'm a little nuts probably.
Probably.
But I think this ties back into the fact that... it comes back to the creationist evolutionist thing for me.
Right.
Because we are so force-fed evolutionary theory. If you're going to take that to the nth degree, my actions have no consequence. Right. Because if I die and I go into the ground, that's all there is. I'm just a product of a random happening in space at some point.
Right.
There's no reason for me to care what the heck happens to that moose. So why should we care? Why do we care? And I think that raises the question of the fact that we were made by God to care about these things, and we have a responsibility, if we are Christians, to be good stewards. That's my answer for it. And so people, when you mention karma or natural selection, people will only pull that out when it kind of supports their position. You know, someone got what was, oh, it was karma. Yeah. But if something happens to them, well, you know, it wasn't karma. You know, it's only when it's something negative happens to an idiot. Ultimately, I think, we have a I believe we have a responsibility to look after the animals that we've been given on this planet, but if you're going to approach it from an evolutionary standpoint, who cares?
Who cares?
Really?
That's what I have to say about that. Well, that was quite delightful. I didn't know you guys were going to be this good.
Oh, really? That explains why I haven't been here for 11 years, I guess.
It was not 11 years ago the last time you were on the show.
Yeah, it was so.
Was it?
Yeah.
You haven't aged a day.
Thank you. That's a lie. What a lie. That's a
silver tongue devil. Go with that silver beard.
Liar.
That's my Letterman. That's my Letterman laugh. No? Rocky Bullwinkle? Better? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Daryl, can you just... I was going to kind of do this earlier, and I thought, oh, that's not the right time. And then I thought, oh, we're moving on, and now we're out of time. But I think it's important for people who actually know you and care about you. Would you mind giving us an update on your family and how things are going with your daughter, please?
You're telling me there are people who know me and care about me?
No.
That's great.
I'm just being nice.
I was hopeful. So my daughter was diagnosed a couple years ago with Lyme disease. We didn't get the diagnosis here in Canada because our medical community is sadly behind the times on that and willfully ignorant in many ways. So we had to pursue treatment in the United States. January of last year, she couldn't walk any longer, and she had lost, her memory was fading, and her speech was affected, and we were at our wit's end. We took her to McMaster Hospital Emergency, and they discharged us after 3 days with requisition for physiotherapy and a psychiatric appointment. So we pursued treatment in the States, and after 10 months of treatment at the Spinago Clinic in Oldsmar, Florida, I'm happy to say that she's now home and she's progressed greatly and is almost back to normal.
That's phenomenal, man.
It's awesome. And she, I mentioned earlier, but she did almost, we almost lost her a couple times. And so it was a trying year. My wife and Grace were in Florida for 10 months, and my other daughter and I were back here, so we were separated from much of that. We'd go down and visit here and there. But it's we've learned a lot about suffering. I think it ties in what we were talking about earlier about affluence in North America and how disconnected we are from the rest of the world. And I think that's affected us negatively in terms of because Jesus said we were to be acquainted with suffering. And I think we do a really good job in our culture of keeping suffering at an arm's length. And so as a family, it was forced upon us. And it has been really cool to see how, especially with Grace, how she has grown through this and matured. And she has an experience. I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but because we've been through it, she has an experience that will impact her and affect the way that she's able to relate to others and help others through difficult times. So one little quick story. When we took her to emergency at McMaster, the movie... about the girl getting her arm bit off by the shark. Oh. Soul Surfer was playing. And Grace was in and out of lucid moments and was having seizures and a whole bunch of other things. And at one point, she looked at me and she goes, "Dad, how come I got bit by a tick?" And I looked at the television and I said, "How come Bethany had her arm bit off by a shark?" And she just kind of went, "Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes sense." Yeah. Like, it's not something you would wish on anyone else, but it did happen to you. So the question now is, what are we going to do about it? How can we progress through this? We've learned a lot about suffering, and I'm really proud of Grace for the resilience she has shown, because there were times where she was asking Brenda to let her die. The pain was so bad, and it was an awful experience. But right now, I almost feel I have to apologize, because I feel somewhat detached from it in a way, or passionless when I speak about it, because I'm not bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, but you have lived through all of this, and you're now living a little bit more in the light as opposed to the darkness that you've been. I mean,
we're just coming out of
it. Well, that's what I'm saying, just coming out of it.
Like,
right?
Brenda and Grace returned in November of last year, and we've been circling the wagons pretty tight as a family, as I mentioned to you earlier.
Yep.
And it's only now that we're kind of having this sense of, like, Grace is literally improving daily. She's getting more energy, wanting to do things. And we've talked to other patients who said that it took about a year and a half to 2 years after their treatment before they were kind of ready, felt like themselves again. She will always have issues that she'll have to deal with because genetically we discovered some things about her that her liver's not able to process toxins. So because of all the antibiotics she'd been on for a long time, when she started high school, the school was a moldy environment. She got a black mold hit, and that just collected in her body and was shutting down her nervous system. She had really high levels of environmental toxins in her system as well. So much of the time in Florida was just getting her cleaned up to the point where her body could then sort of get back into the swing and start dealing. Like, the Lyme disease ended up only being a very small portion of it.
Sure.
And it's been called... my wife's going to correct me after, because I'm going to use the wrong terminology. But Lyme often is misdiagnosed because it masquerades. It's like a lot of other diseases. Hmm. So I've heard of people being in wheelchairs, being diagnosed with MS for 5 years, and finally went, "Hey, maybe it's Lyme disease." And they got checked out for it and eventually were able to get out of the wheelchair and return to fairly normal function. So ultimately now I have a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanks. Yeah. That my daughter is alive and we've come through it, but it's been a rough road.
Well, it's a weird thing for me, only because, you know, you're someone I've known for a long time. You're of the same age, and any parent would hear your story and go, "But by the grace of God, go I." I mean, that could happen to anybody, and wow.
Yeah, it's really hard as a parent to watch your kid going through that because I wanted to absorb it all, and I would gladly take that to not see her suffer. But again, I do believe God has a plan in all things, and suffering, if we allow it to, will actually benefit us in the end. And I've seen, like I say, I may not end up seeing the full amount of growth or that Grace has shown or will show through this, but I'm really proud of her and thankful for whatever reason, that's what we've been taken through, and I'm sure we're still learning lots.
Well, thanks for the update, man.
Yeah, okay. No problem.
Appreciate it.
And I don't want to slap you anymore.
Good.
No, you're okay. You don't want to. You don't want.
Just give it a few minutes.
That feeling will come back.
Yeah,
there.
It might. Yeah,
I'm sure
right.
I'll say
right
something.
Right at the moment,
I'll
I don't
say
want to
something
slap
that'll
you.
Make
yeah,
you want to slap
okay.
me eventually.
No, that's okay.
Oh man. All right. Well, listen. A short break on our show, and when we come back, oh, it's the moment many people have been waiting for: useless television trivia.
Big furry paws, and he liked to howl. Great big furry back and furry howl.